Good evening. I thought I'm going to stick to the paperwork this time, so I didn't have any complications with anything technical, but then I seem to have got things on my phone, things on my iPad, and things on the laptop, so we're doing quite well. So we'll see how we go. Go all horribly wrong. But we're hopefully going to go through 1 Thessalonians 5 today. If you've got your Bibles, go through. Some of the scriptures will be up on screen. All scripture is good, and we can feast on any part of the Bible, and it's great. You know, all of it's good. But when I was praying about and thinking about what to teach on, I love Paul's letters. Paul's letters are obviously directed to the churches, and we can glean a lot from that, and we can see where we should be, what we should be doing, and really kind of helpful advice to us. So we're going to go through some of Paul's statements that he made to the church in Thessalonica to help them. I just want to quickly read, it's not up on the screen, but it's just from 1 Thessalonians, which we're not doing tonight, but we're going to just read from this. You are witnesses, and God also, how devout and justly and blameless we behaved ourselves among you who believe. And as you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. That's quite a statement, you know. That's something we should just bear witness, you know, bear thought about where we're at with the Lord and what our walk's like within yourself and within the church that you're in. Let's just pray. Let's just open and invite Lord in. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much that we can come in tonight and open your word. We just thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for all those faithful ministers that you've called, Lord, to write down these words that we can still look at today. Some 2,000 years later, Lord, that you just share them with us, that we can see where we're meant to be at. And Father, we know we fall short. And Father, we just thank you to help us to remember these things as we go about our daily lives, Lord. Help us to put a perspective on where we're at. Lord, allow us just to be humble in your presence, Lord, humble in your grace that you've blessed upon us, Lord. We just thank you for those things. Amen. So just a little background of the church in Thessalonica, the Thessalonians. It was a capital city in Macedonia, which is modern-day Greece. It had a seaport and a Roman road, which was a very popular stop, busy stop, quite a busy place. And Paul and Silas travelled to Thessalonica, I'm going to struggle with that all night, from Philippi on Paul's second missionary journey to preach there to within a Jewish synagogue about Jesus for about 3 weeks. But most of the Thessalonian Jews became displeased, and they formed a mob and they drove them out of the city. But some were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, and a large number of God-fearing Greeks and a few prominent women also. And so the church of Thessalonica was born. In Thessalonica, Paul and Silas stayed with a man named Jason. And when the Thessalonian mob decided to get rid of the missionaries, they rushed Jason's house, dragged him into the streets, and hastily, after a hasty consultation with city officials, they made Jason post bond and released him. Meanwhile, the new Thessalonian believers hid Paul and company until dark, and then sent them on to Berea, a city about 45 miles southwest. And in Berea, as we know, as we've mentioned this scripture so many times, it's a city Paul found a much more receptive audience. As we read in Acts 17, the Bereans considered Paul's words and compared them with scripture instead of taking offense and resisting the gospel as the Thessalonians had. And the mob even followed them and continued with them to Berea to cause trouble, sort of chased them. It's hard, you know, you don't understand sort of how hard Paul had it, and on numerous occasions being rejected, but some hearing the word and some following them, which was, you know, it's great. And it's the same we have now. We go out and witness, some won't hear, some will, you know, come and find the Lord later on and remember what you've said, and some will listen, some will follow. That's why we're all here, because at some point or other somebody talked to us and we decided to listen and follow. So we turn to scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5, just the first 4 verses. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write to you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes so as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child. And they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Paul was only 3 weeks, yet he'd already talked to them about the coming of the things that were going to happen, the prophetic things that were due to happen with Jesus' return. And I think Matt's going to be possibly talking on those subjects later on, so I'm not going to tread on his shoes. But they knew, you know, this church that Paul had talked to for 3 weeks had been crammed so much information into them that they understood of the times that were ahead, that they weren't in darkness. They understood. They knew what was going to happen. They weren't going to be overtaken as a thief. And we have that illustration, you know, a thief doesn't tell you when he's coming. He will just turn up. And I had that, unfortunately, I had a site burgled where I installed an alarm and CCTV system. I thought it was, I was prepared and the cameras are pointing along the drive and they'd tell me if somebody was there that shouldn't be any time of day or night. The alarms would go off and upon the entry of the building, and again, it would let me know that it was ringing. But they broke in just before midnight last week. This was when it was poorly, and cut the padlocks on the gate, spent 10 minutes smashing through a metal door. And once the alarm was ringing and they were inside, they were in there 3 minutes. Took a load of things, including a generator, and then drove off. And at that time, it was happening. I was awake, and I was on my phone. I was on my phone, and it still didn't let me know that this thing was going on. The reason for that was it all runs on a 3G router, and the data had run out on the SIM card, which was meant to be a unlimited data plan, but unfortunately, the wrong SIM card got put in it. So it didn't tell me all this stuff was going on. A bit unfortunate. Fortunately, got enough footage. They know who it was, and they've been, doing other jobs. So they've not been called as such yet, but they know who it was. So it does help them with the footage that we got, at least. But we have that. We have this. I wasn't prepared enough. I thought I was prepared enough. I had all those things in place. But there was now an urgency from the firm. Obviously, now this has gone on and they've been burgled, but they want everything else really updated and make sure that all the things are in place, people are getting it rung, the data on the SIM cards are working for the future. We don't get a second chance. God has told us what's going to happen. And at some point, he's going to blow that trumpet and we're going to be called up into the sky. And he steps in, this day of the Lord, he will step in and he will take over. Are we ready? Are we ready to meet Jesus? If it happens tonight, are we ready? The books will be opened. I can't wait to be with him, but I don't want to look back thinking about what more I could have done with my time. Not too far ahead. We also have that terminology there. Just go through it here. Labour pains. And I'm sure Eilish very recently would know that they didn't know when the baby was going to be born, but they knew it was coming. And likewise, we're not in darkness. We're Christians. And like the church in Thessalonica, we can see the signs of things that are coming. We can look at the news. More than ever, we have got so much information now of seeing what's going on around the world at any given time. And we are, if anything, way closer than we was 2,000 years ago when these guys were preparing for it. So how ready are we? How ready are we? It says we should be sober, putting on the breastplate of love. Have I read that yet? I've not read that yet, have I? Sorry. Let's go back. So next scripture, verses 5 to 8. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk, drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and the helmet of hope and salvation. And you might recognize that it's very similar, sounds very similar to the armor of God in Ephesians 6. Let's see who remembers. The loin girt in truth, I'll start you off. the breastplate of righteousness. Thank you. Okay. Feet shod with the preparation of gospel of peace. Thank you. And the shield of. Whoa, well done. Helmet of? Salvation. and the sword of the Spirit, absolutely. Slightly different this, so as we can see that, you know, it's the breastplate of faith and love that we have here. You can just imagine Paul sort of, when he's writing these things, he's obviously looking at the Roman soldiers that are around about him and seeing these analogies as they're walking. And we have that, you know, the breastplate was something to protect the heart, protect the internal organs. And a very important part. And likewise, we need that protection for the love that we have for each other and the faith that we have. It's, you know, that helmet, hope of salvation, this hope that we have for the future, that we know that we're saved. See, this hope, this breastplate and helmet are very important. Not necessarily the items that, you know, Paul changed it in using that analogy, but the actual, what they're protecting, our hearts, our faith, and that hope of salvation that we have. Keeping us safe till the Lord's return. Sorry, I jumped so far ahead and then I don't look to see where I'm actually at. Okay, next scripture, Thessalonians verses 9 to 11. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other, edify one another, just as you are also doing. Comfort and edify. I feel so blessed to be in this place with you guys in this church. Such a lot of nice Christians. You are. You are great. I wouldn't choose anybody else. It's so wonderful to grow up. I don't know. It's been a while. Was it 97? Began my life. Obviously started a little bit before then. But it's been a long time. Seen a lot of people come, a lot of people go, be with the Lord. And it's wonderful, you know, get to a stage where I'm a youth leader. I can teach some of the things to the youth that were taught to me, that I've taken on board. And yet there's still people that have come and gone, that have been Christians a long while and have passed down God's wisdom that God's shown them in their life to me. And that's just how it should be. We should be, friends, you know, to friends with each other, to help each other, to edify and to comfort. I'd say don't miss an opportunity to talk to each other. Anyone, I was going to say young ones, but, you know, or the little ones aren't here. Yeah, I was going to say, don't miss an opportunity to have be able to talk with them, to share your life, to share. You just don't know what things people are going through that they might need help with. Don't waste it. We spend, really, compared to the week, so little time with each other. That we should spend the time we have really talking with each other, talking with everyone, and certainly talking with the young ones. And there's no young ones really here. Well, some young ones, younger ones, we say it like that. But say for the message, the benefit of the tape, harass all these adults and ask them every question you could possibly think. Harass them every week until you get the information that you want to hear. Because every one of these guys, every one of you guys, has to have an answer for what you believe. And that, you know, we have that chance to be able to talk to them. I've seen it. I've seen churches fail that haven't nurtured the children. I've seen churches struggle to continue. As the congregations got older and not able to actually provide the things for children that come along. And unfortunately, gradually got smaller and smaller. So I pray that you will pray for the children here, all those at the Friday clubs and the leaders, and talk to them. Just talk to them as much as you can. Just talk to them. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 to 13. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those that who labor among you and those who are over you in the Lord and admonish you and esteem to you very highly in love of the work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Paul says we should recognize the leaders, those who labor, those who are in full-time service, which probably is all of you, as Bob said last week. You know, we're all in full-time service and all have places within and jobs to do within this church. But we should recognize and pray for them. Those who are over you in the Lord. We're so grateful for the pastors that we have. We're grateful for Bob and Sim You know, we should be praying for those, great for them, and recognize that they're in their leadership and the jobs that they have to do. And also those who admonish, which means reprove and warn gently. You know, those who come alongside and then say, well, you know, you shouldn't really be doing this. And we all have a part to play in that. We all have a part where we see something that doesn't seem quite right, and then we can give a gentle nudge in the right direction in love. And ultimately, it says there, be at peace among yourselves. And so a great way to esteem and love the leaders of your church is get on with each other. And again, I'm grateful that we do that very well. You know, without those grumbles and problems within the church, the pastorship will be able to get on with greater jobs of seeing what the Lord has for us and what we can do. We should have unity. We should be marching in the same direction, looking in the same direction, under Jesus, and actually moving as an orderly battalion, if you like, you know, marching in the same step. 1 Thessalonians 5:14-15. Now exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted. Well, I've got the feeble-minded. It depends what version you're reading. That's a great word, the feeble-minded. Uphold the weak, be patient with all, and see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Here Paul starts his exhortations. An exhortation is to tell somebody, to tell someone what they must do, but with sharpness and critical spirit. It's not a rebuke or condemnation, but neither is it merely a suggestion or advice. It is urgent and serious, but associated with comfort. Paul told the Thessalonians, the people, not only the pastors and leaders, to minister in a variety of ways, depending on the person they're talking to. Our first one we have there is warn them that are unruly. Let's just read all three first. Warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded, faint-hearted. Support the weak. The unruly are those who are out of order. Using a military word, they describe the soldier who breaks rank or marches out of step. This is a self-willed person who simply demands to hold his own opinion or preferences, and these must be warned. Two, we have the feeble-minded and faint-hearted, and those who literally are small-souled. So the Greek words say, there's two words, small-souled. By nature or experience, they tend to be timid and lack courage. They need comfort and a sense of assisted strength to be brought to them. That word comfort is to come alongside. We get that a lot with new Christians. I know I've been there. They struggle, they give up quickly, and they self-doubt sets in, and they need comfort. I know God can do anything, but why would he do it for me? You know, you ever had that? You had that? You say, I know he can do all these things. He can heal people. He can help people, raise people from the dead. But would he do it when I ask him? We need to have confidence that God is with us. You know, we do that by coming alongside with somebody. You see somebody struggling, we need to come alongside them gently and give them a direction and that they need to go in to help them with those problems, to give them courage to carry on, to comfort, to come alongside. And the last but least, we have the weak. They must be upheld. We must assist them with an eye to build their own strength instead of carrying on with their weakness. So they're frail. I'm not going to give up on that word. I'm not going to say it. I said it earlier. I've said it every time, and now I can't say it. Build their own strength. So instead, work on them in building them up rather than focusing on where they're struggling. Especially new believers. And they start and they reach that mountaintop, they tend to I know I went for the same thing, that you suddenly drop into the valley. You have this high, you're just so excited about it. And then you start learning more and you start seeing how it's affecting your life. You see you're being convicted by God and you're seeing you're just struggling. You're just saying, oh, I can't be a Christian anymore because I've just lost all that wonderfulness that I had right at the beginning. And we get like that. We get set in our ways, and we think that's the norm. And it's a roller coaster. It is a roller coaster. We have those weak points that we just need somebody again to come alongside to actually hold us up. It's so weak to actually stand anymore that we need somebody to come alongside. Help them get through. It says, be patient towards all men. That's long suffering. That's that word, you know, with all, long suffering. Be patient. It's hard work. Sometimes you know those sort of people, and you see them coming, you want to go in the opposite direction because you know they're going to take your time up. You know that you're going to be there a while, and you sort of think, oh, I don't know. I think well, I'm not strong enough at the moment. I'll come back another time. But we all have that. We've all been in that place, and we need to realize that somebody, they need a couple of hours of our time. We need to be there for them. 1 Thessalonians 15. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. You know, we should never seek vengeance or revenge as a Christian. It shouldn't be in our nature, shouldn't be where we're at. We should, in theory, always let God fight our battles. So if we have somebody that's dissed us or come against us and we're feeling annoyed or angry, we should take it to the Lord. Now we feel that we've been done wrong, we need to take it to the Lord. If we have a God who is just, and he is, and if we have been wronged, the way we act, we can speak volumes. You know, if we take revenge or we get back at a person and somebody's watching that, it can have a real effect on their walk. If we can see that we can take what's been given and take it to the Lord, we show a strength in the Lord. God will deal with a situation. If there's a problem there, he will overcome it. If somebody needs talking to that's wronged you, he will talk to them. Pray about it, take it to the Lord, and let him deal with that situation. 1 Thessalonians 16 to 18. Sorry, that says 15. Done that one. Okay. Here we go. Rejoice always. Are we all happy? Are we all rejoicing? We were earlier. I mean, we were saying, great is thou our faithfulness. Mercies are new every day. We have a lot to rejoice for. Absolutely. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I think I'll do a script. Okay. We have a lot to be joyful about. We have been saved by Jesus. That should put a smile on our face. We're going to spend eternity with him. That should really put a smile on our face. We're going to be with those who have gone before us. Which is going to be a great time. Great time. The streets are gold. We have a mansion with Jesus in heaven, and we can worship him 24 hours a day. And yet, we get a flat battery in the car, or somebody honks us out at a roundabout because we've not moved quick enough, and our joy seems to disappear. It steals our joy. And we need to step back and remember what Jesus went through to free us and to keep us in that joy. That's hard to do sometimes. Rejoice always. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. Let God be in our communication of all our thoughts throughout the day. There's a lot to pray about. I think you probably, you know, we had prayer time this morning and this evening. There's things, just those things alone can take up our time in prayer. And I'm sure there's hundreds of things more where people come to mind that we could be praying about, praying to the Lord. Praying is listening as well as talking. It's not just morning devotions. You know, you can spend time, if that's all we're doing. If I brought that relationship to Shirley and said, Shirley, I'm sorry, I only can talk to you for the first half an hour of the day, and then I'm just going to disappear for the rest of it. she'd be a little bit upset, which might be. She'd be very upset. And God's the same. You know, we don't just have morning devotions. We should be talking through all through the day in everything we do. We should be spending time with him. I don't know who this quote was from, but it was on David Guzak's website. But it says, the use of the voice is not a central element for prayer. The posture of prayer is not of primary importance. The place of prayer is not of great importance. And the particular time of prayer is not important. A Christian should never be in a place where he cannot pray. And that's it's a great comment to think about. You know, we get tied up with some things and we have to be in a certain place to pray. And it does help, don't get me wrong, being on your own without distractions is a great place to be. For someone like me that gets distracted by everything that's going on, being in a room on my own is a good place to be. But it doesn't happen, does it? Because we're always moving all through the day. We're doing things and keeping busy. And it's those comments to allow God. You've got the Holy Spirit dwelling inside you. We should be in that communication of talking to Jesus all through the day, of thinking of scriptures and thinking of the ways that he's taught us through that week, the people that we need to pray for. And there's you know, not a minute that goes by where we cannot be in communication with the Lord. Verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God and in Christ Jesus for you. How can we give thanks in everything? There's a lot of heartache going on, a lot of heartache we go through. We don't give thanks for them circumstances. We don't give thanks for losing our job or losing a friend or family. We don't give thanks for those circumstances, but we give thanks going through those circumstances. We have a Lord who loves us and who will bring us through all those occasions, and that's what we can give thanks about. He's in control. We recognize that God is sovereign, his sovereign hand is in charge, and that it's not blind fate or chance. We can have confidence that God is in control, and that's how we can give thanks in all things, which we should. As Paul says, verses 19 to 20, do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies, test all things, hold fast what is good, and abstain from every form of evil. There's four verses to the point, short and to the point, but all so very important. Do not quench the spirit. Don't put the fire out and the Holy Spirit out. How can we do that? By pretty much doing the opposite to all these things that we're learning about. When we doubt, or when we're indifferent, or when we reject him, or when we're distracted by others, or when people start to draw attention to themselves, then we can quench the spirit. And we have to be careful, because like all of these things, there's some things that that go on that shouldn't be going on within the church. I've seen some very strange things that just didn't feel part of the church, didn't feel part of the spirit, when it'd been out of control. Which is not in God's, God does things in order. And you can stop those things and suddenly we're told we're quenching the spirit. And that's not what it's about. That's not quenching the spirit. That's keeping order in the church. But we need to not do that ourselves. And we can do that. You know, we doubt when we go against the word, and that's how we quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Prophecies never go against the word of God. God still can speak through people today. It might have been despised due to the abusing of the gift, where people were saying all sorts of things, but not according to the word. We have the complete word now. We can test what's being said. We can test what's being prophesied. Prophecy never goes against the word of God. God can still speak. I've read that. Sorry. Shirley and Josh had a prophetic word for me at the church big day out. We were close to the front of the main stage and had just been watching Casting Crowns, which was fantastic. I don't know if you've ever heard them. Look them up. They're brilliant. It's a band that we've always wanted to see. We've all the way through youth club and becoming Christians, we've always had their music, and it's been a powerful lesson, really. I mean, they were youth leaders and they wrote these songs for their youth groups. So I have a sort of close thing with that because I understand that. Wanting to get God's word through in a way that they could listen to and understand. And it was great. And that just finished, and Ren Collective was about to come on. Another very lively Irish Christian band. And both Shirley and Josh said, you don't want to stay here, it's going to get jumpy. I think that was the words. I said, I'll be okay. I said, I want to stay. I want to stay and see them. I saw them before, and I thought they were really good. They left, and I was suddenly shoulder to shoulder, jam-packed with a load of other quite younger Christians. There was a few adults there that were silly like me. And it was getting tighter, and I said, oh, it's getting a bit tight here. And have you ever tried to stand still, shoulder to shoulder, front to back with people while they're bouncing in the air? So it's all right at the beginning. It sort of starts, you think, I can handle this. And you're going, I can do this. You know, that looks like I'm jumping. I can manage that. My knees aren't so sore. And then you start, you think, well, I don't know what to do with my hands. So your hands sort of go, well, that's not probably guided. Hands sort of go in there, and you're going like that. And suddenly you find yourself, you're like, oh, no. And, you know, it's getting out of hand. For like half an hour, I was jumping, almost crying because my knees were sore, with no way of getting out. And it wasn't good. And if I'd listened to Shirley and Josh, then I might have made it out of there without being in pain, and probably coming back with COVID as well, which isn't the best thing. But we have these prophetic words. I've got it here. Chuck Smith, he's great, and I love listening to Chuck Smith. If you've got Blue Letter Bible, a lot of his stuff's on there, you can find it. But he says, I've had some people give some off the wall, thus says the Lord, prophecies several years ago. I had a man prophesy that I was going to be carried out of the church in a casket within 2 weeks. And he didn't like the fact that I didn't go along with his Jesus only doctrine. He said God was going to judge me, and he had this vision and prophesied, thus says the Lord, in 2 weeks they're going to carry you out in a black coffin. Well, I knew he was wrong, because my wife would never let me have a black coffin. And an interesting thing, I had had the man's funeral service within 2 weeks, within another 2 weeks. And so I just told my wife, evidently he sort of saw the wrong face in the casket, which I thought was quite a thing. But we have this, we've got to be careful. When people say, I've got a prophetic word for you, we need to take it to the Lord, and we need to listen. We need to... Let's take it seriously and then put it against the word and put it to the Lord. If God wants you to know something, he's telling somebody that to help you, he will tell you as well. If something that has happened that's on their mind, you can go and you can test what they've said. You can put it to the Lord, and the Lord will answer you one way or another, through somebody else or directly to yourself. He will give you that answer. He doesn't rely on other people to get his message to you. You might, but you still take it to the Lord. Still take it to the Lord. Compare it to Scripture. And we do the next thing, verse 21, that says, test all things, hold fast to what is good. That's all things. It's really important to test all things. Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Evil and deceptions can show itself in spiritual settings. So we need to be on guard. When based on God's word, we can discern, hold fast to what is good, what is God. We have those things Satan gets worried, when we're getting close to the Lord. He doesn't like it. He knows you, and he will try to find the things that you will stumble on. So we need to be ready for that. We need to have our armor of God on, and to be put things to, test all things and hold to what is good. We can do that through Scripture. We can see in completeness God's word for us, and we can see what God's character is like. We can see how he deals with people, how he deals with situations. So we know how he can deal with us, and we can put that to him. Abstain from every form of evil. This shouldn't need to be explained. It doesn't say some forms of evil. but every form of evil. Anything that dishonors the Lord should be avoided. If it comes... Sorry. If you have something in your life that's evil, it will rub like a wound. It will grate and it will burden you. Like a yoke on a couple of donkeys pulling along. They both have their yoke and they're set. You know, one might be a bit more eager than the other. If they don't work together, then obviously the yoke moves and one of them will start getting sores on its back. And likewise, that's the same with us. If we have evil in our lives, if we have problems in our lives, then it will start to grate and it will start to burden you. And, we all know those things are not meant to be and they need to be dealt with. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 23 to 28. Getting close to the end now. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you. Set apart your new person, new creation, a different lifestyle to the world. Sanctify you completely, that you may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Paul uses this word brethren so much within these chapters. This brethren, this family, this new church that's so young, being shown that they're part of this family. Part of God's family, like we are. Pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. Now, this was the culture in those days. It's not something that we tend to do now. If you're in Italy or France, they might come and give you a kiss on each side of the or three kisses, whatever it is. But we don't tend to do it in this church. Don't panic. We're quite happy with a handshake or a little pat on the back, and that's fine. But, you know, in their culture, it's how they greeted each other. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. And we've done that tonight. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much for your word that we can read here. Lord, there's a load here to take on board and to take back into our heart and to look at. Lord, I pray that you just challenge us to where we're at. Lord, we know that we just know the world has so many distractions, Lord. Lord, when I think about, you know, with the disciples in your day, they didn't have the TV, they didn't have the phone, they didn't have games, they didn't, you know, these computer games, Lord. They didn't have eBay and Amazon, Lord, to check out, and all the Facebook profiles and all of those things, Lord. I've got a picture them looking, maybe just seeing who's got the latest nets for boats, you know, who's got the best for catching fish, best rods. But the distractions nowadays, Lord, and the evil that's on them, Lord, we just get our time taken up so much. Father, I pray for us here. Pray for your church here at DCF, Lord. Pray, Lord, that you will just do in us a new thing. Lord, that you will just help us to be good servants to you, Lord. Help us to speak to the people that we know and the strangers that we don't. Help us to sow seeds that you can water, Lord. Help us to encourage people within the church. Help us to comfort those who are in need. Give us courage to do that, Lord. Father, I know that I just sometimes want to run in the other direction because I just don't know what to say. Lord, you you give us the words that are needed. Your Spirit give us the vocabulary that we need. Help us to come alongside people at the week. Help us to deal with anybody that unruly that comes in. Help us not to quench your Spirit, Lord. Father, we just pray that you will just help us to grow in you. Let us draw close and grow in you, Lord. Let's help us to pass on the information that you've given us to other people, to the youth, Lord. Oh Lord, I pray, Lord, that we can encourage them to stay in the church, Lord. Encourage them to see the joy of this family. Encourage them to show that they are safe amongst us, Lord. That world's so wicked out there. Lord, I pray, Lord, you just help us to deal with every situation that we hit it throughout the day, Lord, coming to you in prayer. Father, we just thank you for all these things, Lord. We give thanks to you for all these things that you give us. And Lord, we just ask those things in Jesus' name. Amen.